KQPJD. I'm in Suffolk County, Long Island. Nice to meet you guys, and congrats to your station on the license.
Hey, thanks for chiming in. Yeah, Glendale's still here. Not going anywhere anytime soon, I don't think. Although I do have a little bungalow out there out east on East End of Long Island myself.
Okay, very good. Yeah, I grew up over there. And bought a house on Long Island. I might get better out here, to be honest. I miss it, though. It's nice to have everything close by. But I'll be listening, guys, so I don't want to interrupt you guys. I passed over to the new station. I didn't catch the call. I think it was a KD2 call sign. I want to pick it up, K2PJD. Name is Phil. And I'm in Ronkonkoma, Suffolk County.
Hey, Suffolk County. This is KD2ZFD. How's my signal out there in Suffolk?
Yeah, it sounds like you're going into the Glen Oaks machine, which is in Queens. You're making the repeater full scale. Well, actually, you know what? I hear a slight hiss in your audio, so I wouldn't say full scale, but it's a good signal. You know, you're readable and everything. This is actually a linked repeater system. I believe there's only two links. You got the one in Glen Oaks that you're using in Queens, and the link that I'm going through is actually in Suffolk County. It's in Selden. It's one town over from me. I'm running a base station here, so I can actually make the Queens machine if I were to switch over. But you're doing a good job. What kind of radio you got?
It's a radio oddity. I was going to go for the Falcon, but I wanted to go up a few steps. It was about $65, and I'm using a homemade J-Pole Slim Jim, which I guess is working.
Okay, cool. Yeah, man, your next purchase, if I were you, you're not official until you get a base station. You're not official until you get a mobile. Yeah, you're making it good. Audio's pretty good, and the signal's a little scratchy, but you know, you're not doing a bad job. I'm guessing you're running, 5 watts?
Yeah, 5 watts.
Okay, copy. Yeah, you got a good signal. Over to the other station in Glendale, K2PJD.
Yeah, Roger, thank you very much. 73 to you. Thanks for chiming in. Really appreciate it. This is KB2TSQ. Yeah, you sound good. Just keep on talking into that microphone. You get a little bit low. For me, anyway, you're getting a little bit low. Keep talking into that microphone a little closer, and I think you'll be fine. You got great sound.
Okay, thanks so much. My name's Mike, by the way.
Very good, Mike. Mike, just wait for the tone. After I get done talking, there'll be like a 3 or 4 second pause, and you'll hear a tone. And that's when you should start picking up. You can key your mic again. That's a courtesy tone, actually. I learned that myself.
Thank you so much for that. Yeah, I didn't want to step on anybody.
So are you in your house or your mobile? You're probably in your house, I think, because you said there's a Slim Jim, correct?
Actually, it wasn't doing too good on the back porch inside, so I came outside, and it's hanging from the carport where I had a plant hanging.
Yeah, I seem to do just as well on my second floor inside the window as I do outside, because when I go outside, I'm on the ground, and I get a little bit more height here. And I got a pretty good shot east, which is why I'm getting Glen Oaks, I guess. There's no other repeaters. I mean, I got plenty of repeaters that are close to me, but they're not active, I don't believe. I don't believe they're active. I hear pretty much nothing on them. I leave it there sometimes for hours and never hear any call signs or anything.
W2OSR.
Go W2.
Okay, this is W2OSR. The name is Bob. Yeah, the Glen Oaks repeater is probably the most active repeater in the New York area. There are a number of other repeaters located in Glen Oaks. I'm not sure who they all belong to. Plus, there are some other repeaters out here on the island that Limemark.
Yeah, Roger, W2OSR. Yeah, that's what I've been told. Limemark seems to be the most active, and I'm going to be joining it now. I just got my vanity call sign, my old call sign back, so I didn't really want to join until you know, I got this call sign figured out. Now that I got it, I'll be joining Limemark. It seems to be very active and very helpful. All the guys have been very helpful here, and it's been good.
Yeah, okay. Not this Wednesday, but next Wednesday, there'll be a meeting in Levittown Hall in the Hicksville area. You could go there if you want to join, or, you know, you can always do it over the Internet as well.
Yeah, Roger that. I'll see if I can get out there. That's a bit of a hike. What time does the meeting start? Is it like an 8 o'clock meeting, 7:30?
7:30 is about right.
Yeah, that'll put me in good rush hour traffic getting out there, that's for sure. But, yeah, I'll definitely try to make a meeting, for sure. That sounds good.
Do you, do you.
Hello there.
Matt. Bob, I was listening in on the conversation. I wanted to tell new operator there, you can also attend by Zoom. Can't make it in person, and which I, unfortunately, I do that myself a lot because I live out in Suffolk County. I know Limehawk wants us to attend more in person to justify the space, but if you can't, you know, there's always the Zoom option.
Yeah, I'm not sure if Mike KB2ZFD is still with us, but this is KB2TXQ, and yeah, I would like to definitely make one of those meetings and probably a Zoom as well, although I'm kind of zoomed out since the pandemic. I've been to a lot of Zoom meetings over that time, so, but I would definitely try to do that as well.
All right, Bob. Go ahead, Bob.
ZFD, yes, I'm still hanging on here.
All right, roger that, Mike. Yeah, that Limehawk is pretty good. You may want to join it. You can go to their website and check them out, and maybe you want to join them and get a little active, being you're kind of close out there. I guess you said you're in East Meadow or something, so you're definitely closer than I am. Maybe you can make a meeting or two. I think it'll be worth your while. You'll learn a lot, and you'll get to know the guys on the 2 meter here.
Yeah, thanks on that. Yeah, I've been up there. As a matter of fact, I took my test on April 9th. A couple Saturdays ago, and went to one general meeting, and I've also been going to one in Eisenhower Port. It's a smaller group, but yeah, a lot of nice guys in both areas. It's been a big help. I've still got a lot to learn though.
Yeah, no doubt. I still have a lot to learn myself. I used to be just strictly HF back when I had my novice license. I never dabbled with 2 meter and repeaters and that kind of thing, and I guess I got back into it for, you know, to have a little bit of an emergency radio. You know, in case the S hits the fan, so to speak, and that's why I got back into the radio, and maybe eventually I'll get back into HF, but it's always been an antenna issue for me, trying to get the right antenna. You need, you know, some decent size antennas, and I'm not sure I can really do that anymore.
Yeah, affirmative. I don't want to stand around and wait for it to hit the fan either, so I figured this was a good idea. You never know. Every day this world changes so much.
Yeah, for sure. It's good insurance policy. You see what's going on out there in case, and God forbid. But always good to have another mode of communication. So, yeah, it's good. It is good.
Absolutely. I was thrilled to contact you because I thought I screwed something up on the antenna, but I guess not. It was just the location, you know?
GXR. Go ahead, GXR.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it's Bob on this end into GXR. Yeah, I thought I was the only one that thought like that around here, but you know, I'm doing the same thing.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, listen, you know, we're watching this world. You know, we're so interconnected with the world now that anything can happen around the world and affect us like it never has before. This is definitely not the country I guess most of us grew up in, and I think we have to be a little more self-sufficient and just be ready in case for anything that comes along. I don't know if we could trust that government to really help us like we always thought before.
Yeah, let me see if I have it. Yeah, I got, I'm going to get a battery, that's a dry cell battery, and with another unit that can power my radio in case the energy, the electricity goes out.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I got myself a little generator, you know, big generator, and I got a little one for all my radio stuff, and just to make sure, you know, everything's good. It's a solar powered. That seems to be the way to go now these days, so I got a little solar powered generator. You know, got me a shortwave radio. Got a few things going on here that I'm just making sure, taking care of business, you know, being self-sufficient.
Yeah, okay. Let me bow out. I'm heading to work. Into GXR. I don't know who has it. I'm bowing out. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, pleasure chatting. Thanks for stopping in. This is KB2TXQ. My name is Jim, by the way. I didn't even put that out there. And, yeah, it's good to see other guys are thinking the same way. I'm not sure. Maybe a lot of people are thinking that way, but they just don't talk about it so much. But, yeah, that's a good thing. It may help spur a revival for ham radio again.
W2 OSR, thanks.
Go ahead, W2OSR.
Okay. A lot of the emergency prep stuff I learned was through ARIES. It's expensive, but I have one battery that'll run my HF radio for 2 days. A bio-ano lithium ion one.
Okay, that's a good idea there, the lithium battery as well. I'll probably put that on my list as well, of things I've been collecting and putting together. That's good. I'm just wondering how many other hams out there are doing the same thing, especially the new hams that are coming on, like myself, that I came back from the old days, you know. I never thought I'd have to do it for this reason, but here we are.
Mike here. That's the reason I got into ham, just in case, you know. My sister lives off the grid in North Carolina. They raise their own food. They can, all that great stuff. She's been bugging me to get out of the metro area for years, but yeah, it can't be too safe, especially nowadays.
Yeah, it's always good to be ready. Last time I really had to use much of anything was we got big hit by Hurricane Sandy. I was helping out through ARIES, the Red Cross, and I wound up spending 81 hours in a shelter before I could get out of there. We kind of got trapped. A couple of troops came down and blocked the roadway. Brad.
Wow. That was some storm, and I bet you learned a lot, too.
Yeah, definitely. I'm listening in to the Limark, which is acting as sort of a resource net. And you don't want to know what I heard about what was happening in different neighborhoods down on the South Shores as the storm came in. If you listen to somebody talk, and all of a sudden you hear a transformer explode somewhere in the neighborhood.
Yeah, boy, that was a mess. I know one guy, his whole bottom floor got flooded in the basement. I worked with my brother-in-law, who's a contractor, and they lifted the house up next door, and the other guy put a another room over his garage. Yeah, it was a mess. And it took so many people. I think some people are still in the effects of it.
Yeah, I think you might be right. A couple I know, they're heavily involved in amateur radio. We spend a lot more time with Limark than they do these days. And they had just, every time it got heavy rain, they got their first floor in their house would get flooded. Irene came along. They just about got the house rebuilt, and they got hit by Sandy. Had a big fight with the insurance company in terms of getting the work done. They finally have gotten the house raised up, and hopefully they won't go through that again.
Yeah, hopefully. Pray to God that doesn't happen. But, yeah, what a lot of heartbreak. I mean, I live kind of in the center of the island, so it's I have no problem. You know, I'm not right on the South Shore. I actually grew up on the North Shore.
Yeah, I'm up on the North Shore myself. I'm in Glen Cove, and the high school I was at was the Locust Valley High School.
Oh, you're in Glen Cove? And went to Locust Valley. I went to Locust Valley High School, year of 73.
That was the year I got married.
Wow. Congratulations.
I can't believe it. We haven't killed each other yet. Next year will be 50 years.
Wow, God bless. Yeah, me and my wife are about 33.
Yeah, well, you know, well, if you went to the Locust Valley High School, you know it's down sort of like in the valley there. We had a heck of a time during Irene trying to get any kind of radio communications in and out of there. I got lucky. I talked to the head custodian and managed to get an antenna installed on the roof of the gymnasium. You can now get out of there with 5 watts.
Wow, that's fun. Yeah, I tell you, a little friend of mine got into a little trouble when we were in high school. He made his own receiver on the AM band, and I think we're talking about the same custodian. Actually turned him in because he was interfering with a marine beacon. That was a bit of a hassle.
Okay, if you remember the name, his first name was Henry.
Okay, I'll have to bring that up to my friend. Actually, I was lucky enough to... relative of mine was the secretary of the FCC. So I went to my grandfather and, hey, Grandpa, help us out. My friend's in trouble. So anyway, could have been a lot worse.
Yeah, it could have been. You don't need the knock on the front door of the house.
He was at Bosie's taking electronics, and the guy came up with his dad. And his dad goes, "Hey, Johnny, there's a guy here from the FCC that wants to talk to you."
Yeah, I don't know what kind of an AM receiver he would have built that would have interfered with much of anything.
Yeah, that was the transmitter at 1605 kilohertz.
Okay, so it was transmitting in the upper end of the AM band. Yeah, you could have been on a harmonic of something that would have interfered with another service. I don't know how many watts he was running, but he's running below a certain power, and you don't even need to worry about it.
Yeah, I think he was doing like 8 watts, but anyway, when the FCC guy came to his house and looked at his transmitter, he laughed because he had the a tuning network wrapped around a toilet paper tube, you know.
Yeah, okay. He could have used a piece of PVC pipe and it looked more professional, huh? I don't know if you still have a copy on me. I'm up here by the water in Glen Cove, and high tide and the waves are splashing up on the shore here. Yeah, about maybe 2-3 foot high waves.
Oh, okay. I heard a gentleman the other day talking to a trucker. I don't know if that was you. One of the guy's names was Andy.
Oh, Andy is on here a lot. That's WA2CDL. He might have been talking to somebody. I know over the weekend he was going up to New Hampshire to a ham fest.
Right, yeah, I did hear about that. He's delivering windows or something like that?
I don't know. There used to be two truck drivers I would talk to on a regular basis on here. I haven't heard them for years. One of the guys was delivering building products all over the New York area.
That sounded like a regular thing. That's nice, though. Meet these guys, you know, so you meet people. I'm anxious to get out a little further, and, you know, who knows, maybe when I get a base station, one of these days I'll get something from Europe or who knows where.
To work Europe doesn't take all that much. If you get an H, you know, if you get the HF privileges, just get a simple dipole up and you'll be able to work Europe on 100 watts, especially right now as the sunspot cycle is getting better.
Okay, yeah. I was talking to a couple of guys that were, I can't remember what they call it when you go very low power, and they're hitting Canada and Europe and unbelievable, on like a half a watt.
Oh, it's doable. That's called QRP. The way I remember it is quite reduced power. But there was one guy in England I talked to a number of years ago. He was what he called bicycle mobile. He had a little trailer behind his bicycle with a battery and a radio in it. And you have to have a very good connection one day. He was at the beach on the west coast of England. And he cranked it down to a half a watt, and we were still able to talk to each other.
Wow, that's impressive. Thank God for Skip, right?
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of being in the right place at the right time to make the long-distance contact. Somebody else come in?
Yeah, go ahead.
KB2TXQ is still here. Jim, my name is, and but I am going to say goodbye. It was a good conversation. Mike, I'm glad I'm your first contact. You always remember your first, as they say, right? So you guys, 73 to both of you guys, KD2ZFD, good luck in the future with your ham radio experience, and 73 for now, guys. We'll talk again.
Thank you, Jim. You have a great day, and maybe we'll bump into each other at Limart. Work field day.
Yeah, Roger, that sounds like a good deal. When the weather gets good over here, if it ever gets good again, yeah, we'll definitely try to hook up again. And, yeah, good talking to you guys. Have a great day.
Yeah, this is Bob, W2OSR. Definitely, if you can at all do it, get to field day. You'll get to see a lot of stuff that happens. Get with the right guy. He'll get on the air. He'll help you make those long couple of contacts, you know, on HF radio if you don't have those privileges yet.
Right. Now I don't. I'm just a tech. And what's your call sign again, may I ask?
Okay, I'll give it to you phonetically. Whiskey 2 Oscar Sierra Romeo.
W20SR.
Okay, well, I'm going to say 73. I'm just about back at the house. Guys, take care. Good luck as you enter into your amateur radio career. W2OSR.
So much. Have a great day. 73.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL.
System?
Your phone chattering just a minute ago.
Not me that I can remember.
Move your phone, Richie. Move your cell phone.
I have a gun.
Yep.
Getting an RFI from your cell phone? Yeah, it's crazy. It interferes with everything. Yeah, because it's gone now, right? Because the cell phone is 3 feet away from, you know, it also interferes with the monitor. So, yeah, something's coming out of the cell phone now.
Mr. Troy, a little wet. Is it an iPhone?
Yes. Hold on a second. All right, I'm talking and I'm bringing the iPhone closer and closer and closer and closer. And now it's at the microphone, and now I'm moving it back and back and back and back and back and back. And I don't know, actually, I don't know if it goes there all the time, but did you have a difference there?
No, it's alternated. It's the first time you came on, it was there, the second time it was, third it was, the fourth it wasn't. I don't know, John, what do you think?
Funny, if I put my phone next to my sound machine in the bedroom, every 5 minutes sends out a little chirp sound, like Richie's getting. So I think the cell phone is constantly sending a signal out to the cell site to make contact, whether you have it set up so that if you lose your phone, the phone will always know where it is. But that's typical of Richie. You know, he puts his phone down right next to his microphone, and then he puts papers on top of it, and then he doesn't realize the phone is right next to the... But, you know, the transceiver. So I always have to say, move your phone, Rich. Move your phone.
Yeah, but I've been pretty good of late, and now I just forgot again. But I did notice that even when it's near the monitor, the computer monitor, that there were some problems.
Oops. Anyway, I'm going to make a quick stop and run into 7. We'll be back shortly. If I can still be here.
That's all right, you're all broken up anyway. Yeah, and John, I'm going to go back to what I was doing, so we will catch you. UAKX.
WB2ZS.
WB2ZS, K2KMB. You're still breaking up quite a bit, so I'm wondering where you are.
Okay, is that any better?
Yeah, if you speak a little softer.
Yeah, I turned the radio on to low power earlier and forgot to put it back up. So how are you?
I'm good. Not going to complain. And what about yourself? Today a work day?
Nope, off today. Actually, doing a little running around and heading for your neighborhood.
Ah, I don't know if the toll booth is down.
Does it matter?
Where are you heading, ShopRite?
But of course.
I didn't understand what you said.
I said, but of course.
Ah, okay. Trying to think. Yeah, I'll probably have to go there at the end of the week.
Okay. Yeah, I got a couple of things to pick up there, and I got stuff to pick up right in the store, and that's it.
They don't have one close to you, right? I know, where's the next one? I guess heading east is maybe there's one in Comac, I think.
Yes, that's correct. Actually, there's two not far from you, but the next one is in Comac by the expressway.
Okay. That was an area that changed a lot once they took down the movie theater.
Yeah, actually, there's also one in Deer Park on Deer Park Avenue, I believe.
I wasn't aware of that one. Alf, I guess. Yeah, they're good, but I guess there's two different shop rights. One's the ones that are owned by Greenfield, who related the stores, and I guess the others are a franchise. But I don't know who the larger company is that bought them all out.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, Greenfields are the two by you and the one in Comac. The other one's not.
Yeah, I think he's also the one in Bethpage. But it gets confusing because you would think, I mean, I guess you don't know what the business dealings were, but you would think that if you're selling your name, ShopRite, but you're keeping your, what they considered to be the anchor stores at that time, which was Plainview, think that you wouldn't build any more stores, but I guess his agreement allowed him to do it.
Yep. Just like Stop and Shop. It used to be Mel Weiss's Stop and Shop, I think.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Weren't they supposed to merge with someone and then that fell through? ShopRite and King Cullen? Not ShopRite, just Stop and Shop and King Cullen, or something was supposed to merge and never came about.
I honestly don't know. But Pathmark went out. King Cullen's still around. King Cullen also is wild by nature.
Well, there have been a lot of different supermarkets out here. We first moved out in the shopping center by me. It was an AMC. Then it became an Associated. Then it became C-Town. And when it was C-Town, then they miraculously or suddenly had a fire. We all suspected because they were doing Chon's for about 6 months. I think up on Old Country Road was AMP, Grand Union. Now there's like two different supermarkets, maybe three, and that's it.
Yeah, when my parents moved out, AMP and King Cullen, I think, were the big ones. I'm not sure. There was another one at Wallbound, and there was one other one, I think. Who had the? Oh, maybe it was King Cullen had the SNH green stamp.
Yeah, I forgot about Grand Union. And in this area, when trying to think who was, Grand Union might have been on Morton Village Shopping Center, and then I think when they went out, they brought in two of the, like, boutique supermarkets. I think D'Agostino was there, and there might have been one other. And they just never survived. Pricing was too high. But, yeah, a lot of changes in the supermarkets. Of course, one bought out the other, and then ran them all into the ground.
Yeah, for some reason I couldn't figure that out. D'Agostino was big in the city, but it couldn't make it out here.
Yeah, I think in the city, you know, it's like a neighborhood thing. You walk a block or two to get the supermarket. But I think that their prices were high. And I think that's what, and maybe they weren't really full line stop for going in and doing the week shopping. I'm not sure about that part of it. But what's the Italian one that opened up on one hand? Is that Uncle Giuseppe's or something like that? I think they're doing okay as the smallest
one. WB2IKK. I go into, the other places, and these guys are like old school. Like, if you go to the deli counter, you know, it's not like they're doing you a favor to wait on you. They have a good attitude, and, they listen to you.
Yeah. George, go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Richie, and hi, Steve. Welcome back, Steve, I guess. I hope you're feeling better. Richie, did you send everybody, it sort of looks phony to me, an email saying to end the board meeting on Wednesday before 8 for a webinar? Is that something you actually sent, or am I looking at a piece of spam?
Yeah, no, I actually sent it because the webinar is on the Grant Foundation, so I felt that many people might want to listen to the conditions so that each could put together their own ideas. I know it was fastly put together. I was talking to Lou, NY2H at the time, and I just wanted to get it out there. I'll follow it up with another email, but yeah, that's the link, and that you have to pre-register, and the webinar begins at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, okay, thanks. It struck me that, there wasn't a lot of info with it other than the link, and I was kind of afraid to click on that link without hearing from you that it was okay, simply because, you know, I knew nothing of this, and it kind of came out of the blue. And, you know, these days, the amount of spam is ridiculous. But, okay, if it's real, I'll look into it. Thank you. And, Steve, pick it up, and then back to Richie.
Yeah, hi, George.
Yeah, I've been around.
Excuse me.
Yeah, the thing, George, was that that was my third email. The first two, I was trying to copy and paste the whole email, and I guess it's secure, you know, because it was sent to ARRL members only. So for some reason, trying to cut and paste the whole thing, it wouldn't let me do that. Eventually, I was able to just cut and paste the link. But by that time, I had forgotten to put in any other background information.
Yeah, okay, good to know. I'm just wondering why you're getting ARRL mail and I'm not. But I am a current active member of ARRL, and I don't seem to be getting mail from them. I know that they send out a newsletter, and I'm not getting that either. So I don't know if I should talk to Jim or whether there's something I actually have to sign up to do or what. I know they just changed the website around. Maybe I should go there and rummage around and see if there's some stuff that I ought to be clicking on so that stuff like this doesn't come out of the blue. Anyway, Steve?
Well, not being a member, I can't comment on it.
I think you have to go to your ARRL sign-in, and then I believe it's like under subscriptions or something, or under emails, you tell them which emails you want to receive. And so you may not have them checked, and that may not be. On the other hand, they didn't look thoroughly into it to make sure that it wasn't just for presidents, which wouldn't make any sense. The president of the club isn't the one necessarily the best at writing a webinar, so it should be open to everyone. So I'm not sure from that point, George, but most likely you don't have something checked on subscriptions.
Yeah, I kind of thought so. By the way, how's this radio sounding? This is my my Anytone radio, which is also runs DMR, but obviously right now I'm analog. I'm afraid to put this thing in the car. It doesn't work the way I wanted it to, and I guess the way I want it to would be simply put to have the analog channels behave the way that they do on it, which is fine. You change the frequency, you change the repeater, and, it memorizes the PL, and that's fine. But when I go to talk groups, they're on a certain frequency, and they get stuck. I can't easily switch talk groups and use talk groups the same way I would use a channel. It doesn't want to work that way. And sort of, that's the way it sort of has to work for our mobile, or else I have to sit here looking at the screen trying to figure out how to get it out of analog mode and into digital mode and then back. It's not something that I appear to be able to do with just a change of the tuning dial.
That's why you got to use memories.
And I would assume zones, put everything together, put analog together, not necessarily mixed, although maybe that doesn't matter.
Well, it has two zones. I have an analog zone and a digital zone, and I kind of don't think that's the right way to do it either. I kind of think zone is the radio's equivalent of a zip code or a range of zip codes, or maybe a county or something. You know, maybe they ought to have a Nassau County zone and a Suffolk County zone or something set up on it. But right now it's set up between analog zone and the digital zone, and that's not helping me.
It's just a separator, George. I got to get out of the car. I'll talk to you guys later. WB2ZSA.
All right, Steve. Catch you later. KQKMB. I'm not sure. You know, most of the times the zones, like I have probably Limark zone. I have a Nassau County Aries zone. I mean, it really shouldn't matter. I think Well, and the other thing is you wouldn't want to do Nassau, Suffolk. Of course, if you're doing the plane, if you're doing the Limehouse repeaters, the MR repeaters, you want to go effortlessly from a WAK plane view to Selvin without having to cross back into another zone. Three could be one right after the other, basically.
Yeah. I think I had this odd notion when I got the radio that the zone could be, zone information could be fed from the machine's GPS, because I have the model that has the built-in GPS. The GPS would tell the radio where it was, then the zone would be set up to get to those repeaters within the area that the GPS was set for. Apparently, to be able to do that requires software far above and beyond what the code book is capable of.
Yeah, I think also there's an attempt to put, well, at least in the R-Finder system, which maybe with all DMR, attempt to put together a kind of APRS system, in which case the GPS would obviously play a role. But, not sure. I don't know your radio. Anyway, let me get back to a couple of things before we get to wild. So we'll talk to you later. WB2IKT, K2K.
Okay, Richie, very good. Hey, have a good one. And thanks for getting back here. And I guess I'll continue to play with this thing a bit, see if I can optimize it so I can finally put it in the car. K2KND, WB2IKT is clear listening.
Listen, I spent my whole life in New York. Marilyn says, "You going to Long Island?" I said, "Yeah. Got a whole bunch of buddies down there." Well, trip up until the LIE actually has not been that bad. But the LIE is the LIE. And I'm pretty sure I'll be I'm plenty early. So I'm planning on making a surprise visit to my old business, see how my ex-employee or the new entrepreneur is doing.
NY2H, well, that should be interesting. Maybe they'll put you to work. You never know. Well, the LIE has lots and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of potholes, fortunately. I don't know if you've encountered any of them. And, Marilyn knows you have a lot of friends down here, obviously. And hope she's doing well.
Well, you know what, yes, she is. We're hoping very shortly for her to, staying at home and enjoying her knitting and all that other stuff. That should be fun. And, it's interesting making a move, and it was very, very... very difficult to actually even find anything, but we lucked out. I'm enjoying it. It's different, but it's the same. I don't know if you know if you can understand that. It's different, but it's the same. And the nice part is, thank God for ham radio. We've met quite a few nice people, and that's what makes it fun. We're still working on the house and still getting it where we want it, and that will probably take another 6 months. But it's one floor, so that's really nice. K2RB.
Very good. And different but the same. Same but different. Yeah. On the edges. So, all right. Well, sounds all good. And have fun at the meeting. Also, have fun at the old salt mine and see what's the same and what's different about that place. And that's about it from this end.
Okay, Lou. Take care. Best 73s, and we'll just be listening. Where are we? Oh, they're telling me to get off on the northern state. No, actually, they're telling me to get off on Green Cove Road. That's weird. I'm going to stay on the LAE. I think it's more direct for me. Have a good one. Great speaking with you. NY2H, K2RB.
Alrighty, Rick. You too. 7-3. Have a good one. K2RB, NY2H.
KD2ZEL, mobile.
Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL.
Parts of what you're looking for. I hope you're not looking for a pet dog.
No, I went out looking for, about three or four items, and I found one, which is, hey, what are you going to do?
What am I going to do? I'm reminded of the old adage. Whenever you are beset by doubt, be sure to run around, scream, and shout. Does that help?
Nope, not in the least.
So meanwhile, I am emotionally preparing myself for this coming weekend while I'm going backpacking again.
You're just a glutton for punishment.
And I freely admit it.
Well, that's halfway to solving the problem.
No, I recently have learned a phrase that this applies to perfectly. It's called type 2 fun. Most people have never heard of it. Type 2 fun.
Yeah, I've only heard of one other thing that's type 2, and you don't want that.
No, type 1 fun is basically you go somewhere, you do something, you have fun, and later you look back and say, yeah, I had fun. Type 2 fun ends the same way, but you question whether you're having fun while you're doing it. It's only afterwards that you say, yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, well.
Want to hear about type 3 fun?
No. Hold on a second. Yeah, sorry. I just had somebody get back to me on 6 meters. Since we were playing, I'm on the telephone. And I had a turn, and then he took a turn, and he finally came back. So we give you 2GS.
No problem at all, Steve. I'm just thrilled that you came back to me at all. I don't know if I told you, the part-time job I had until a year ago seems to have been at some level resurrected. And this is like the fourth day I've gone in so far. And in the 4 days, 8 commutes, maybe I've had a grand total of 10 minutes talking to people on 2 meters. I don't know why it's so quiet, but it seems that when I'm doing these drives, no one ever comes on. So I was pleasantly surprised when you did.
Yeah, I don't know. It's been it's around that spring break time of year. Because I had gone by a school earlier that seemed to have been closed today. And I assume it affects the general population of people working in general.
Well, I'm not sure what it is, but I'm glad to have you. So, okay, yeah, where I left it off. Shall I explain type 3 fun, or is that going too far?
WB2IKT. Give it a shot. I'm sure George understands.
There's something wrong. George is making the repeater solid.
Yeah, it's called base station. Anyway, Steve, you were curious about the schools being closed today. Actually, believe it or not, it's a religious holiday. And I'm not really sure of the nature of it. I guess I should look it up. But it's called EID, Eid al-Fitr, F-I-T-R. So I suspect it's some sort of a Muslim holiday. It's actually tomorrow, but the schools are closed today. And I know that my grandson and my granddaughter are both home from school, and I've had the honor of looking after them today. But I don't know what the holiday is all about, but apparently the schools are closed. Ed?
Yes, I have heard of the holiday, Eid al-Fitr or something. And I am aware that they have been doing that. I had no idea it was today. I don't know what else to say. So I guess then my granddaughter wasn't in school today either. Not that it matters that much. I saw her yesterday, and I probably won't see her again for maybe 2 weeks, because next weekend I'm running around like
Nothing on holiday.
Always. Steve?
Yeah, I'm just around the corner from the house, and it sounds like somebody wanted to make a comment while you were speaking, Ed. So let me let it drop and see what happens. So you beat Jesse. Or not. Anyway, I'm home. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow. George, have a good one. You too, Ed. WB2ZSE.
You enjoy, Steve. George?
Okay, so long, Steve. 73. And I'm now looking at Eid al-Fitr on Eid al-Fitr, maybe. The holiday of breaking the fast. And it's the official end of the dawn-to-sunset fast season of Ramadan. And it falls on the first day of Shawwal. And it's not always the same Gregorian day as the start of any lunar month. Varies according to when the new moon is sighted by local religious authorities. So, it's also called Lesser Eid or simply Eid. Or Eid. And apparently there's some traditions associated with it. And honestly, I'm reading this for the first time. I'm not familiar with this at all. This is the first year that I'm aware that our public schools have been closed for this particular holiday. Interesting. That's all I can say. I wasn't aware that there were enough folks who would practice Islam in my area that this would need to be a holiday. But I guess it is.
I don't think it has anything to do with your area, George. I think it was brought in as diversity, and I have no idea of how much it is observed as a function of different locations and all that, but it is what it is. I mean, I have no intention of taking it, using it as a reason to bring in some other holiday, nor do I have any intention of questioning whether it should be. Like I said, it is like what it is. So, how have you been, George? In theory, we have a VE session next Tuesday, but I don't think I have anyone signed up yet. And then next Wednesday, I'm doing part two, but I am not doing software-defined radio in any detail.
Ooh. Okay, on the presentation, I may be a bit disappointed about the lack of detail on SDR, but there's certainly plenty to talk about besides that. Okay. And continuing to read about the holiday, my neighborhood in Hicksville actually has a huge inflow of folks from India coming in. And little did I know, but it's a public holiday in India. So I guess they have bought it over here, and I guess you're right, that's part of diversity, but I always thought the folks that we hear from India were more or less on the Hindu side opposed to the Islam side, but apparently I'm wrong on that one. Plus, it certainly is a big deal in Pakistan as well.
As I understand, when the British gave up their colony in India, they split it into India and Pakistan, because India was primarily Hindu and Pakistan was primarily Muslim. And as I understand, they did the split the way they did to minimize religious strife. But unfortunately, the minorities were large enough in both places that it remained, it turns out to be a bloody mess anyway. No idea where it stands today.
Yeah, unsurprisingly, my understanding from whatever education I had back in the day seems to be in 100% agreement with what you just said. That is how I remember it. Sounds right to me, and I guess that's enough about the holiday for tomorrow. Anyway, I've had my granddaughter, who I sent back to her mom. Apparently, they think they have a baseball game. She's in a kids' little league tonight, which mom was anxiously awaiting for it to be called as rained out. And as of last time I checked with her, which was about an hour ago, it was not rained out. So I guess she's preparing the laundry for the mud to follow. And my grandson is still with us. His mom is supposed to pick him up when she gets out of work today.
And how is good old Caleb doing?
Yeah, he's doing all right. He's trying to find out what he's interested in. So lately he's gotten interested in some sports, which is, I think, normal. And I guess hockey and football are the two that his sort of his choices. He has decided to become a hockey fan and enthusiast, but he actually thinks he has a chance to play football. And to be honest with you, his throwing, running, and ball handling capabilities exceed mine at this point. He can run way faster than me, and he's very good at throwing the football with good accuracy and so on. However, he's relatively slender. He is not a big, hefty football type, which means he may be a good, either a, what do they call them, a wide receiver type. And if he's really good with handling the ball, possibly he may have a chance at being his quarterback. I don't know, but he's only 12 years old, so time will tell.
All right, yeah, I understand. If he's interested, he seems to do well at it. Let the system play out. There is a very elaborate system to handle just that sort of thing. The only thing I'm worried about with football is CT, and that at some levels they tend to push them. And studies have shown that there are certain injuries in football that you do not want to push to work through the pain. And that's something I would be very, very concerned about. But other than that, let the system sort it out. Oh, I do have a little shoot story for you. Let me let it drop and I'll tell you. In the sixth grade, I believe it was, my son played in a school intramural basketball league type thing. And what I found was absolutely mind-boggling. There were kids on his team. It was a boys' team, and the boys and their fathers all seemed to think not only were these boys excellent basketball players for their age, they were superlative basketball players at any level whatsoever. And these boys used to get frustrated by the mere, you know, the mere mortals who they had on their team, and felt they had to save the world themselves and wouldn't do things like pass to their other teammates with the usual inevitable results. Let me let it drop, I'll give you part two. So what happened was they never won anything because when you don't play as a team, you're going to lose. And then they just, once it was obvious they were out of the running to be number one in the league fairly early in the season, these kids and their parents all stopped coming. And then the team, minus its best players, started to actually win, although they never ended up doing anything, but at least the boys started to have a good time. They had a good time playing, and occasionally they even won. But here's the point. Here's the point. We heard a lot of talk that led me to believe that there were a lot of people who felt that in maybe 15 years, the NBA will have a lot of 5'9" white boys from Nassau County.
Yeah, WB2EAV, WB2IKT. Give me a moment to say goodbye. His mom just arrived. And get back to you in a few moments.
No problem. WB2EAV.
WHSCDL, train mobile. Ed, you copy?
Yeah, you're fine. You're not great, but you're definitely fine, Andy.
Yeah, okay. I'm on a train, just left Jamaica. So, Roy really stumped everyone with the puzzle. OLEDs. But you came, you're the one who got it. Organic LEDs using carbon?
Yes. As I said on the net at the time, and as I followed up, Roy sent me a...